yesterday evening at 9 o'clock of telling that story to the grandchild of the cleaner of the church who had never heard that story. I'm currently reading a book, a novel, which has the very title, When Will There Be Good News? It's a book by Kate Aitkinson. And the gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus seem strong on there being good news. And yet it was a terrible time in the Middle East when they came with that message. We'll have another one to ping up, I hope. Maybe it's just zonked it off the screen. It doesn't matter. When will there be good news? And there seems to be a lot of good news, especially the angels in verse 10 come and say, "Don't be afraid," says the angel to the shepherds. "I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people." Joyful news for all the people is spoken of because a birth had happened. Not just any old birth, that's wonderful enough, but a special birth. A saviour, a deliverer had been born. And as we said already today, the amount of joyful singing around the birth of Jesus is notable. As you read about it, there was so much singing, which is why we'll be singing carols tonight, while we'll be singing throughout Christmas, while we'll be playing on our iPlayers and our CDs. So much music around this time. And Luke records in his gospel that Elizabeth experienced her child, John, jump for gladness in her womb when Mary arrived on the scene. Mary herself praised God for gladness. And Zechariah praised God as soon as he could speak again. And a great choir of heaven's angels sang at the birth of Jesus. And having seen Jesus, even the shepherds went home singing. There was just so much rejoicing and singing. And so for us, Christmas is a celebration, not just with food and gifts, not just with friends and family, but a celebration in song. And even if you've got one of those gruff voices, which doesn't seem too tuneful to others, but you know it's tuneful, and God knows it's tuneful, Christmas is a celebration in song. Because of the birth of Jesus. The news of the birth of Jesus was joyful for all people, not just one group of people. That's the important thing. Not just one group, not just the old people, not just the young people, not just the middle-aged people. This is joyful news, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, the whole of the world. This is good news, not just for women, but for men also. Joyful news for all people. But how do you celebrate good news? How do you believe in the possibility of good news when all the news you hear is bad? Especially if you're one of those people that looks at the world through sort of bad glasses. You know, you've not even got one bad eye and one good eye. How do you celebrate good news? Without being perhaps superficial, lacking depth. What world was this speaking about? In a time of economic crisis, in a time of family difficulty, in a time of grief and loss over children, job losses, and a series of national crises over values which has been displayed in serious rioting and looting, and also corporate greed. What day is that? It's not just our own. This is the day of Mary and Joseph, when Jesus was born. When will there be good news, you say? Do we have any good news? Jesus was born into a world where people, particularly faithful Jews, cried out to God for deliverance. Not just deliverance from Roman occupation, but deliverance from corrupt and greedy religious and political leaders. They cried out to God. And the prophet Anna and Simeon, the good and God-fearing man, are examples of those who cried to God, God, give us some good news. They recognized when they saw the baby Jesus the answer to their prayers. Their prayers were for deliverance. They'd asked for a saviour to rescue the people and lead them out of darkness and decline. And Simeon spoke also not just about the joy, but the cost for the benefit. The cost-benefit analysis. What would it cost for there to be joy for all people? Joyful news for all people. Simeon and Anna went to their graves knowing that hope had arrived in the form of Jesus Christ. And we go out every day of our lives into a world of difficulty knowing that hope has arrived in the form of Jesus the Christ. But Simeon was totally realistic. He spoke about the destruction of many people in Israel because Jesus had come, their fall and their destruction. And he spoke about the salvation of many people. His rising shall be for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. Many will speak against Jesus, he says. And you, Mary, you will experience the deepest, the greatest of sorrows. But yet Simeon rejoiced at the coming. And he cried out, I have seen God's salvation. And that is what we cry out this Christmas. I have seen God's salvation. Why then is the coming of Jesus good and joyful news? Because of what he brings with him. Because of his presence in the world. And as Rosemary hinted, what would the world be like without the hope that God brings into the world? There is joyful news because Jesus has brought hope into the world, into the darkest of human situations. God has offered us a way out of our downward journey. Humanity is sinking. A new way of living Jesus has offered, and it is called the kingdom of God. And a new power to do what is right and please God. And we call that power God's Spirit. Why is it good and joyful news? Because Jesus sets us free from the power of evil. And the power of evil is strong. And the power of evil controls human beings throughout the world. Because we let it. If we believe in Jesus, if we receive him into the center of our being, we can change and we can bring change into every situation where we go. Just this week, Prime Minister Cameron has said that a return to Christian values is needed. I have no confidence that he knows or understands what Jesus taught about the implications of loving God and neighbour in terms of justice and forming legislation. I hope that he understands what it means, and we must pray for him and other leaders that they do. Those who accept Jesus as Lord, which means that we will obey him, not just sing Jesus is Lord, those who have accepted Jesus as Lord have a deep joy that comes from at least knowing what is required of us. We do know every day what is required of us. We do know it will be costly, but we know we must act justly, we must love mercy, and we must walk humbly with God. We wake every day of our lives knowing that. Recently, the contemporary philosopher Mary Warnock, who's one of my heroes in a way, although I don't agree with everything she said on Radio 4 that she was concerned that we have raised generations of children who know that we need to save the rainforest but don't know how to behave in the playground or on the street. Do you agree? I find myself agreeing with her, and I want to save the rainforests. I find myself agreeing with her, but I also wondered who raised my generation and my contemporaries, who are now largely in control in the world, to be political, societal, and other leaders, people of my generation who have contributed to and presided over a society which is now so pleasure-seeking and greedy that we have lost our very soul. How are we raising our children? Not very well. That's not an insult to you good parents, by the way. I just saw Emma look at Liz. Thank God for those families which care more about loving God, one another, and neighbour than having a swimming pool and a big car. Had to correct that and put that in. Thank you, Emma. That was a good listen. We need to return not just to Christian values, but to Jesus, and to hear the good news that he can save us. There is good news. Jesus is good news. And whatever happens in our personal lives and within society, don't be afraid. We bring joyful news for everyone. I don't think the angels were just telling the shepherds to stop trembling because they'd seen phenomenal angels. I do think that was true. But they were saying to the whole of humanity, do not be afraid. Do not fear whatever happens in the world, because the Saviour has come. And in the most extreme of circumstances, we can rejoice. You can speak to people in this congregation about what's happening economically in the world. Some people have far greater knowledge than me about what is happening throughout the world, in different parts of the world, and through banking and so on. But this is what the prophets of old have said. This is what their story is in extreme circumstances. Even though the fig trees have no fruit and no grapes grow on the vine, even though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no corn, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful and glad, because the Lord God is my Saviour. And the psalmist who said, so we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and the mountains fall into the ocean depths, even if the seas roar and rage and the hills are shaken by violence, there is a river that brings joy to the city of God. Whatever happens, there is good news. And there is good news to tell, even if our society becomes like that portrayed in Blade Runner. There is good news. How do you sing joy to the world when all you feel is sadness? Well, you come and spend time with Jesus, thinking about the fact of his coming and the difference he is making to the world and will make. You come and think how his life has actually changed and empowered millions of people to live differently. And I can list to you probably at least 1,000, and you could list to me hundreds of people whose lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus. You can think about the future and any fear you have and bring it to God. You can think about what will happen when or if the euro collapses, and what will happen. You can think of Jesus and the new heaven and the earth he is making, and the place he has prepared for you with him. You can spend time with others singing the praises of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. You can bring your anxieties to him and get your instructions of what to do from him. We can invite others to sing his praises, because there is good news. And when there is no other good news, there is the good news that God has sent the Lord Jesus into the world. And whatever the days ahead hold. And we pray for ones where we can still share the gospel openly. Whatever happens, there is good news. So in answer to that question, When will there be good news? It's available now. And it is deep, not superficial, and it involves transformation and change at the heart of humanity. And it is ultimately our only hope. Tina, there is no alternative hope. Lord, we thank you that at this wonderful time, when we rejoice in the midst of sorrow, when light shines in the midst of the darkness and the darkness does not put it out, that there is good news. And we pray for the ability to rejoice in the midst of difficulty and to share with friends throughout the nations the same good news, that the Saviour of the world has come. Amen.